Well, I have good news for you guys.
Oh.
Saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
I'm back. And that means this ship is going to be a tightly run ship.
What are you implying about the week when you were gone?
Yeah, really?
I'm not implying anything.
I think he's talking about the other. You're talking about the other podcast.
Oh no, that one I've decided to become an agent of chaos on because clearly I'm not needed. Because
we have already done that.
No, here I am to enforce the rules to bring you all back on subject. Stop, no more colonoscopy talk.
We're back. Well, I have bad news for you when it comes time for Rebound Prime questions.
I've edited the Rebound Prime questions.
No, you have not. Stop that.
I've thought about editing
the Rebound. They paid good money for that.
Does anybody have predictions for this week's or next week's iPad event?
I predict new iPads.
Yeah, I was going to do that too. And a pencil.
Ooh, good choice.
What do you think will be new about these new things?
Well, have you seen these rumors, these crazy ass rumors?
No,
about
Mike doesn't read rumors. He's too busy programming his game.
It's many, many games.
The current rumor is that they're going to have an M4.
I saw that.
Yeah.
This. So you didn't see the rumor. What are you talking about?
Dan Sloan, who said I didn't. He's the liar.
Well, what's new? I don't buy this. I mean, I don't know. I heard them talk a long time on Upgrade, and they managed to talk themselves in the circles that somehow... felt like this could be reasonable, and yet feel like no, I'm gonna put my flag in the ground here. If there is an M4, it's because they renamed it M3. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
they're just calling it an M4.
Sure, they can do whatever they want, right?
Yeah, it could be whatever number you want.
Yeah, but I don't know why they would do that, other than
makes no sense.
Other than the whole talk was about AI stuff. And if you needed a more advanced processor in order to do certain AI things, you might have a branding concern or a branding. You want to take advantage of a branding opportunity. Those are the words that I want. Hey, it's like I'm back in business again.
Brands. Hashtag. Would you hashtag that? Hashtag brands.
I don't think that Apple wants to be in the position of calling something an M4 that tech nerds would say is not an M4, because then if that becomes the commonly held thing, that Apple's labels don't mean anything, then Apple's labels wouldn't mean anything on that regime.
But Apple labels don't really mean anything.
I think it also gives them a problem when they start shipping the M3s that haven't shipped yet, and people are like, why is this device have an M3, you know, an M3 Pro or whatever in it, and there are M4s available.
Yeah, I think it's super weird, and I don't see why they would borrow the trouble, especially because, given the way the chip pipelines work, why would the M4s be ready now? Why?
Like
you said, they haven't even finished rolling out the M3 stuff.
Jason was suggesting, maybe there was some sort of an opportunity they were able to take advantage of with one of the chip manufacturers, and they were like, hey, we got some capacity, we're ready to run on this new thing.
The number of perambulations you have to invent to figure out why this
is possible.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always possible. Yeah. But the number of hoops you have to jump through to be like, well, if it were this and this and this and this, then it could be that. And it's like, that is all true.
I agree. It's extremely unlikely, I think. But
I don't see it. I think there's some cross wires in Mark Gurman's sources there. Or maybe somebody just decided to fuck with him. Like, no, Mark, totally going to be M4. Yeah.
That was the other one. That was the other thought. It was a Mark Gurman honeypot. and somebody's getting fired next week.
That would be amazing, honestly. Especially because, if you're Mark, you should probably not publish that. I don't know. Maybe check some more sources or something.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So,
Bloomberg did publish the big
famously,
hack.
That's right.
Publishers of the big hack, which they had.
Which was, I believe, the story where they had embedded M4 processors in all those servers. Feel me once, shame on me.
So
other than that, I don't know. I mean, obviously the big talk is the OLED screens and a redesign.
Which now may not be coming, right?
Well, so that story got really confusing because I think they kind of retracted it. It went back and forth, and I thought maybe they were talking about something. I don't know. I have found the iPad rumor super confusing this time, and maybe it's because I haven't been paying close enough attention because I don't need a new iPad.
Don't you?
No, I don't. Oh, I've got an M1 iPad. It's great.
You haven't seen them yet, Dan. You might need one come,
He's got
come next
there.
Week.
Didn't work on the Vision Pro, so probably not going to work on the iPads.
If you have it by one.
Not next week, the week after?
No, next week. I got bad news for you. May is tomorrow.
I know. Well, that I knew, but I just can't do the math.
I don't know.
Integers confuse me, Dan.
Like, I've never been in the market for the Pencil. I just don't actually need one. I had one at one point that I never used. Like, it was just not useful for me in any way because I don't do art and it was faster for me to type. But I feel like they could do some really cool things with the Pencil. I don't know what those things would be. Like, right now you can't, like, they haven't ever done a thing where you can flip the Pencil upside down and start erasing, right? You have to toggle a mode to do that, right?
I would love that, actually.
I feel like that's the thing that I was trying to think about. How always do I integrate a Pencil? Do that.
I mean, I use it for drawing and being able to only have, you know, the double tap thing, which is great, but you only have one thing that it can double tap to. And it is a cool idea to be able to flip it over and have that as an eraser and then have the double tap as being something else.
Seems like it would work with the, the current or the, there's three different pencils, right? The second generation one, the one that attaches magnetically and charges magnetically. It seems like, there's nothing, you don't have to plug the back into anything. So that could be a separate sensor or separate, thing.
Yeah, right.
The ones where you have to like use the little plug on the back seems like maybe that would not be feasible to have a different function in the back. But
what if it's
know.
Just a shorter pencil because it has to click onto the end now because the camera's gonna be on the long side.
Like a little like a nub, like a pencil nub, like it's been sharpened.
It's a golf pencil.
Yeah, there you go. I still want a little golf pencil version for the iPhone, a little reporter's notebook there. That'd be fun. I don't know. I have
you're thinking of
a
handspring.
I had one of those too. The rumor with the Pencil was haptic feedback, which sounds good. I mean, I think the haptic stuff is generally pretty good on the phone and the watch and stuff. So adding that into the Pencil seems like it could be a useful feature for people who use it. The last thing they added with the Pencil was that hover feature in it's the M2 iPad Pro, I think, which I never really got. But again, like I'm somewhere in between.
I use that. I mean, I really like that feature.
Oh, okay.
I use that.
I've never.
Yeah.
I don't think my iPad supports it. So I
just because it shows you. I mean, it highlights where your touch target is, and it's just, it's cool. Because it'll let you give you more information about the thing that you're actually selecting, which for me, because I always get confused on the some of the tools in Affinity Designer. So.
I'm partway in between you guys in the Pencil usage because I don't use it as much as Moltz, but unlike Lex, I have one and do use it occasionally, but mainly just like I find it's like having a fidget spinner for me. It's like a thing that I toy with, like when I
can you do that finger thing? Can you do the
the full spin? No, I never learned.
I always wanted to be able to do that. I've
it's cool.
Never been able to.
I just feel like I would have thrown so many pens across.
It
the
was
room
huge in Japan. I mean, like lots of. Lots
yeah,
of
I wouldn't say that I do it
Japan.
Like. Japan level talent, but it was a thing that they made us do at Magic Camp.
Or they break
so
your thumbs.
That's right.
I like that instead of making you like get down and give you 20 push-ups, they're like, pull 20 rabbits out of hats. Spin your pencil 30
the
times.
Rabbits hated it.
It was only one rabbit. Pulled him out 20 times. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think I'm in a market for a new iPad, at least not for me. Like when we were traveling last week, we took had an iPad that I set up for my kid, which is a Air 2, I want to say. That's like it's got basically nothing on it. It's got like an app for playing videos, and it does okay. Although when we tried to give it to him, and I had forgotten to charge it on the night before we drove back, and it was at like 18, 16, something like that. It got about 30 seconds into a video and died. Despite being at 16% battery. And then I realized I didn't have a lightning cable because my wife and I both have USB-C phones. I was like, okay. So I had to find a battery pack to plug it into that had like the lightning cable built in. That was a real venture. And I had that moment of like, maybe we need to pass down a better iPad to him. And there we go. I'll get a new one. We'll trickle them all down.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Yeah, but. I know. I can't remember if they are planning to do a new iPad this time.
Well, the last time...
I do hate Apple's naming conventions.
Yeah, yeah.
11th
That's
generation
what it's called.
iPad.
It's just called the iPad.
iPad squared. The
iPad
last... in
the iPad phase.
That's offensive. I looked it up in the last iPad Pro and the 10th generation iPad came out the same time, which was October 2022. And the Air is even 6 months or so older than that. So it feels like it could be in everything. They could revamp the entire lineup is possible. I mean, especially if they're, you know, promoting it like this, I feel like it seems like a big thing. My question is what other stuff too?
7 a.m. though on that Pacific Coast. I don't know how much, I don't know how big a deal it can be to them.
Oh, I saw a good point, which was they're doing it because it's a very good time in China and elsewhere. So they picked a time that is theoretically a time that many different time zones will be available for it. And they played around. Remember they did that, what was it like? It wasn't 5 p.m. or whatever, but it was like...
Yeah, there was one
night.
The
they did that
the
night event or whatever,
right?
Which was
there
weird.
There was one
right?
event that I went to 1,000 years ago when I worked at Macworld at the Guggenheim, and that was a very convenient time for me on the East Coast.
That's you went with me.
Yeah, I remember that well.
Yeah,
I did not go.
Yeah. The only time the Rebound has ever been invited. No, that was the Rebound. So I think I essentially read that they're trying out a bunch of different times because they kind of just want to see when people tune in, and I mean, if people care, they'll get up and watch at 7. But like,
are they not having enough people watch? Is that the problem?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, my son has my old iPad Pro, and it was a great iPad Pro. It was the original, and now it's merely an okay iPad Pro, in large part because they stopped letting it support later iOS releases, which was sad because it feels new still, even though it's obviously not
10.5 inch with a home button.
No, it's the bigger one, the 12 something with the button.
Oh, okay.
And
all right, so it's, yeah, that's the one. I have the smaller version of that one, I think.
So it's, besides being fine, it's been dropped by my son one too many times. Mm-hmm. So, like, the volume buttons don't work. You can do the volume on screen, but you can't do the volume with the volume buttons. And there's, like, an area of dead pixels that are sometimes dead and sometimes alive, which I really don't understand. It defies my understanding of how these things should work. And so, like, if there were a free iPad Pro on the street, I'd get it for him, but I don't feel like buying him another iPad Pro because they're
You heard
very
it
expensive.
Here first. Lex does not want to buy an iPad for his child, but he will take a free one on the street.
That's right. An iPad Pro is what I said specifically. So I'm hoping that like they'll have something, because like Liam uses his iPad every day and especially uses it for music. And like his iPad at this point can handle GarageBand, but isn't great. And I'd love for him not to be throttled.
So the question would be then, like, iPads have advanced a lot since then. Does he need an iPad Pro?
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking he probably doesn't, but I've just been sitting out all these other iPads for a while. Because he definitely likes the giant screen. Would he, you know, be happy with a regular size one? Probably. But
there was a rumor of a bigger Air, too, a 12.9-inch iPad Air. So. Mm-hmm.
Let's confuse the iPad lineup even more.
This lineup is going to be, I think this lineup is going to be a big mess still.
Oh, I can't wait.
That is one prediction I get behind because it is a big mess. It will continue to be a big mess.
I love the idea they will release they could release the entire new lineup of iPads, right? Like we're doing them all at the same time. We'll get them nice and ordered and it will still be a fucking mess.
It's a bit, but I like it, you know? I dig it because it is a
you
mess.
You dig the mess?
I do. I like the mess of it. And it's reminds me a little bit of the iPod era where they would just try new form factors and stuff, you know, just like throw stuff out there and be like, how about this? And see what happens.
Yeah. The thing I don't like about it is the thing where people ask me what iPad to buy. And I'm like, I don't know.
I literally have to look them up every time to know which one is which. Yeah. Like, I do not know. Dumb.
Yeah. Dumb. Mini. There's the Mini.
Yeah, that
there's
one
the
I
iPad.
Can
tell. And, there's and, the iPad Air. And there's after, the iPad Pro. But there's
introducing
two
a new pencil like just a few months ago. They're going to do another one. Okay.
Not enough pencil. Yeah, and the rumor is a new Magic Keyboard too, which...
Mm-hmm.
Great. I mean, the one I have works
what
fine.
What I would love, but, and for many reasons they would never do, is for Apple to be like, hey, here's a Magic Keyboard. It works with all of these iPads, and we guarantee it'll work with at least the next 4 editions of iPad or the next 3 editions of iPad. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to know
those are
not
expensive.
Buying a disposable piece of shit. That's the number one reason I hold on to my iPad is because I got the smart keyboard, and I don't want to keep paying that extra tax because I only use an iPad with a keyboard.
I agree.
I mean, I pop it out sometimes, but it's 90% of the time with a keyboard.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. I used to have it in the keyboard all the time, and I've switched back to the Folio case or whatever the heck it is there. But I need the keyboard, and I don't want to pay. It's like $250 or something
for keys.
Yeah.
I use it like this past week. I brought my, because I was doing a little bit of work stuff, I brought the MacBook with me. So in that case, I don't bring the keyboard for the iPad. I just put it in like a, a magnetic case. But the rest of the time, if I'm traveling, especially if I'm traveling with just the iPad, I always have it in the keyboard case because it's just so much better. It does. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Not the only iPad news of the week.
No. Are you talking about the EU, Dan?
That was so disbelieving.
But I knew the answer. I
like that. Incidentally, by the way, we're on this podcast together.
I have no idea where Dan is going with this.
We're all fully engaged. We're really doing this.
I have no
good time
clue where Dan is going.
I immediately get an email that my new version of Lex Games is ready to test.
I have no idea. I farmed that out to my staff. They handle that.
Oh, okay. Is that James? Does James do this for you now?
It's all Guy, actually.
I don't think so.
He is suddenly,
I don't believe
good at
that
producing
story
things
for a minute.
On time.
I think there was a section of that iPad conversation where Lex was noticeably quiet.
That doesn't sound like me.
Well,
didn't sound like anything.
The European Commission has decided that iPadOS also gets to be regulated like iOS.
Oh yeah, right, that one. Oh yeah, that happened.
I saw some salty takes on this, but honestly, I feel like, you know what? It's better this way,
yeah.
I think. Because how much would it suck to be like, oh, I downloaded this awesome app from an alternative app store on my phone and it doesn't work on my iPad?
Just make it the same. I mean, honestly, they should do this across the board. You know,
it is silly,
but whatever,
that they call it a different thing. Like I remember when it was all one.
Yeah.
I remember when it was all iPhone OS, and then it became iOS, and they're like, oh, we're diverging again for the slightest hair of difference. Like it's silly. It is the same thing. So this is one time when I will agree with the EU. If you're going to punish them in the one way, punish them on both. That doesn't make sense otherwise.
I think this is good. I think it makes things easier for everybody. And like, since Apple has already basically done the work on this, I have to assume that the alterations will not be super onerous on them. Like, I'm sure they'll still slow pedal it until the last minute they need to do it. But turning in your term paper right before
I wouldn't know anything about that.
But I don't know. I mean. The contention seems to come from like the way that the EU just decided this is a thing we're gonna do, which I get. Like people were saying, like qualitatively it doesn't, you know, the press release is like qualitatively it doesn't reach the thresholds, but we've decided that it is influential enough that it needs to be regulated, which is a loophole they left themselves. Like that is built into the wall for them to be able to make those adjustments on the fly because they can do it on qualitative as opposed to quantitative means. So I'm fine with it. Like, and also no law or regulation is perfect when it comes to enforcement. You need the ability to do wiggle room on these things and to investigate things and decide how you're going to handle them. That's just how stuff works. Implementation is not perfect. So I honestly think this is not a big deal.
Yeah. I agree.
I want these things. I want these here now. Have you guys downloaded Delta? You play with Delta at all?
I downloaded it and I have not gotten to it yet.
And I mean, it's very well implemented. It just sucks to use your iPad. I mean, your iPhone, it sucks to use a virtual controller.
I have a Bluetooth controller
Bluetooth controller that I didn't bother pairing, and it seems like, I guess that's the right move.
It works pretty well when you put it on there. And honestly, the cool thing somebody pointed out is that you can also, it does AirPlay mirroring. So if you have your Apple TV up, you can just, there is something surreal about sitting there. I was sitting there using a Bluetooth controller, playing a game on my TV that was just running off the little iPhone sitting there. And I was like, this is like just intellectually weird to think about it working like that, but it worked great.
The truth is I have so many things that I can emulate all those old game consoles on. Like, I have a Raspberry Pi that had all those things on there, and it's connected to my TV.
I feel like I went through that phase already. That's why I'm not like... I mean, I'm glad that it's there. I think it's great that it's there. I think more should... they should do more, and Apple should relax. But,
chillax.
I
still miss it. I love when I can play games. The classic NBA Jam video game for, I guess, Super Nintendo. That's a great game. I'll play that anytime. The fact that I can play that on my phone is good.
I was playing, I was marveling a little bit as I played, say RBI baseball, maybe, the fact that in those days that, you know, you play a video game and it'd be like, there's no instructions. You just have to figure out how it works. Like I'm playing a baseball game where you can change the pitches you use depending on like the D-pad, like how you press, like you press down and throw the button. It's like a, you know, fastball versus like a changeup or a slider or something. And it's not like the game tells you any of this. So I'm just like pressing random buttons, figuring out how to do things. Yeah. There's no tutorial walkthrough that takes you 10 minutes. Here's how to jump. Here's how to duck. Here's how to run. Which I find
you almost sounded like Lorne Michaels when you said that. Here's how to duck. Here's how to run. That was really interesting. I like that. It was good.
Okay.
You had a Lorne Michaels voice happening. It was good.
Okay. That's a poll only Lex could have.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't remember. I've heard Lorne Michaels talk before, but I would not be able to pick his voice out of a lineup, I guess. Is that a thing?
Explains why he's gotten away with so many robberies.
That's right.
You would not identify this voice. No idea.
What did the man who held the gun to your back say? Sound like?
I just how you duck. I can't do it now that I'm thinking about it because I don't remember. Yeah. Like you.
It's so hard for me to do impressions when I have to think about it.
You know what should be hard for people, though, you guys?
Hey.
Subscribing to Rebound Prime, this episode's presenting sponsor. Go to prime.reboundcast.com. Here's why. One, we want your fucking money. Two, you get to listen live while we record. You get to join our Discord. You get bootlegs. You get to listen. You get a bonus episode every single week. And you get to submit questions that we answer on this podcast, which we'll do later when we're out of the topics today. But it was... that's it for today. That's our only sponsor. So go to prime.rebound.com.
Thanks, Rebound Prime, for your support.
Yeah. It's nice they keep supporting the show.
I did some news this morning.
Oh, I was going to ask if anybody got logged out of iCloud.
No, I didn't run into that problem.
Yeah,
Lex,
same.
Did you?
Which I'm glad about.
Okay. I did not either, but when I was listening to Upgrade and I heard Mike talk about his experience, I realized that this happened to me months ago. That I got a notification on my watch that said, you have to log into iCloud. And I was like, I'm not trying to do that on my watch.
no, thank you.
That's a no-win scenario. So I went and got my phone, and my phone was fine. And so I ignored it, and it went away.
And that's health problems,
that's
too,
the solution.
Nothing ever came of it. And I'm interested to know if that was an option this time. I'm interested to know why these things were happening and why it happened previously. If these are the same incidents or different kinds of incidents, and if this is some sort of security thing.
The Apple ID engineers in the bunker at Apple Park being like, all right, let's push this to Moltz's watch and see if he does anything. No, we didn't get him. All right, let's go back to the drawing board. Maybe we try it for way more people.
Yeah, it's kind of it is crazy. And actually, listener Billo is saying this in our Discord while we're talking, but it's kind of crazy that Apple has said nothing about the iCloud outage, downtime, whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah,
is. That is. They're not great at this.
Like, I get. Listen, I have been not on Apple's side of this, but like, you run a big old website, like, and you have an issue or you have downtime, you could write to everybody and say, "Hey, sorry for our downtime." Or you could say, hey, only, 8,000 people were affected of the 200,000 who visit our site each day. Let's not tell the rest of them that we screwed up. And I get that philosophy. I just don't share it, especially when you're at Apple scale and when it's news that it was down. Like, it's crazy to me that there's like...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is the argument that you have so many users that even like a small percentage is a ton of people. And this... Yeah. This happened to, like, not this specific thing, but I wrote about this issue like a few weeks or months ago now with like my mail. When that went down, and it was the same sort of thing where, like, it just turned out that it was the back... it was October, actually. It was 6 months ago, where, like, it just wouldn't let me into any of my email accounts, like the my iCloud email account. it kept dying. And then other stuff was problems with iCloud. And I had that thing where like they told me like, oh, 12 hours from now, it'll turn back on. And it did. But like was never documented anywhere. Nobody ever said anything about it.
Right.
And I still run into issues with Lex and our favorite silent email filtering, where sometimes I just don't get emails.
Hey, it's also a favorite of mine.
Why is it my favorite?
Well, because you and I wrote an email or a story about this a million years ago.
No wonder. I never got it. We wrote an email to Maltz
and sent it to him. And I only know this for example because I started having some of my emails also forwarded to a Gmail account. So that I could see if those emails got through specifically. And maybe this is Apple again. I don't get, even though I'm subscribed to the paid version of the Mark Gurman newsletter from Bloomberg, sometimes only the free version I have signed up for shows up in my mailbox.
That's a feature, not a bug. Apple's doing that on purpose.
Apple does not want me to know that information. But it does show up in the Gmail. So weird and rude.
the rebound promise.
The other name for this podcast.
Well, we do have some listener questions you want to cover. Oh,
I have one more thing I want
Please,
to mention.
Okay, do it.
That's a short thing, but it was
my show
morning,
is your show, Dan.
Ubisoft said that Assassin's Creed Mirage will be available in the App Store on June 6th, which I think they've just they announced before that they were going to have it launch on the iOS at some point. I found this notable mainly because I just recently bought this game for my PlayStation 5 because it's a fairly new game, and it is debuting on the the iPhone and the iPad basically in June. So I think it's probably it's like 6 months, maybe 10 months, I think, by the time it comes out since it was released on my console. But that lag time is getting shorter. And the quality of games that are showing up on Apple's platforms is starting to get higher. I mean, it's still a fraction of what exists on other platforms, but it at least, if nothing else, has sort of a proof of concept going for it where it's like, look, you can release a AAA title and then ship it on, Apple's mobile devices. And I'm sure the game companies don't mind having more customers to sell to. So I don't know. Maybe Apple's really turning around on games is what I'm saying.
Here's open. It matters to me as a hardcore game creator, Dan.
Yeah, oh, I know. Your games are demanding. They require the utmost of the GPU, and you only run on certain iPhones.
I noticed you got Daniel Jalkut to help you out there, and that was nice.
Good. Yeah, actually, that's a tech thing. So, Daniel Jalkut released an update to Black Ink today as we're recording that supports my crossword puzzles, so you can play my crosswords in Black Ink.
I feel like helped facilitate that a little bit.
Pretty cool.
I did nothing.
Yeah, true. He won't even beta test you guys. He hates my games. Moltz hates my games. That's the tagline. Actually, my app has a little tagline in it that I can change all the time, and it rotates through some random ones, carrot weather style. And I think I'm going to put Moltz hates these games as one of the taglines.
If you do, I might have to play them. And, then I just to see it.
Feels like a limited appeal joke.
As am I.
What, like my shirts?
It's true.
A limited appeal joke. Okay. Jason asks, did anybody get a colonoscopy this week? No. Sarva says, has anyone gotten an endoscopy? I've had both colonoscopies and endoscopies.
Not this week.
I have not had an endoscopy.
I was going to say, Maltz have had them both at the same time. They just meet in the middle.
Yeah, you should get them both done at the same time. I did have two procedures that I wanted to try to convince them to do at once. And they were like, no, we don't do it that way. Like, come on.
My first endoscopy, I was a kid. And,
I was going to tell that story. You came out a man.
It's not worth it.
Wow.
The doctor's like, hey, go give yourself this enema in the bathroom of my office and then we'll do this procedure. And I had no idea what the hell I was supposed to do. So I stood in the bathroom for a while, had no idea what to do. And I went back to him like, no, that was it. Made him do it. He questioned many things that day. John asks, what if you had a cold? Jesus Christ. I don't read them ahead of time. What if you had a colonoscopy while wearing a Vision Pro hooked up to the camera feed? You wouldn't know because they knock you out for the colonoscopy, John. So you wouldn't know.
If Some people say that they have been, they, well, I mean, it's definitely happened where people do not get knocked out for colonoscopies, but I'm telling you, well, I haven't done it the other way, but getting knocked out is the way to go.
Is there an option to pass on these questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they pay for us, so I feel like
they pay to
I felt bad.
Get the questions right on the show.
But not to have them answered. Okay.
Listener Brian M. says, sorry for the technical question, which is already hilarious. I want a small, cheap computer to add to my network as a reverse proxy. What's the oldest Mac Mini you'd suggest for that? Could I get away with an Intel Mac Mini, do you think?
I think you could definitely get away with an Intel Mac Mini if it was one of the later ones, yeah.
Sure. I mean, I guess the question
is... you could use a Raspberry Pi to do that, but...
Yeah.
I mean, there was more discussion of this in the Discord, so I think the question has sort of been answered, but his preference was for a Mac just because he knows how to use them, I think, which makes sense, and that's probably what I would do too.
Honestly, this is one of those cases where I feel like I still might advocate for like an M1 Mini because I think you could probably get it pretty cheap, and also they're so power efficient. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like just leaving it running all the time, I would feel like is less of a drain on things, and it's quiet, doesn't really have much, you know, fan or heat generation or whatever. So like that would be my choice, is find go to Apple's refurb section, see if you can find an M1 Mini.
My counterpoint is that in some ways, truly, I think the best Mac Mini is the one you have with you. So like if you have access to
one. You were
going to
say that halfway through.
But
if you got one, try it. And then
exactly,
if it doesn't.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I my impression was he did not have one, but I'm not sure
if
that's true.
I think that's probably true.
You're buying one, I say get an M1. But if not, if you got one,
they don't currently have any M1s on the store, at least not low end or ones. I haven't scrolled all the way down the list here, but yeah, no, it's all just M2s and up.
Let's see here.
Intel, they have Intel ones.
Mihir has there a pair of questions. Number one, how many technical glitches occurred before the edited version of this week's show started?
This week being this show right now?
Yeah, well, that was my question. This week being this week this week being last week?
Zero. You know why? Because I'm fucking back, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
I run a tight ship again.
Listener here also
says... James wasn't here.
After the iPad OS, which Apple OS is the next one that will be regulated by EU's DMA? Not Apple TV OS, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I thought about this. Here's my serious answer to this question, which is, I think there is a loophole route where they could try to somehow do something with watchOS, but it would probably be more like kind of what the DOJ is trying to do, where they're saying like the integration between these two, you can't like do stuff that's specific to the watch that other smartwatches don't have access to. But I don't think that inherently the watch itself is big enough to get regulated by them. I think there might be elements of the watch that get regulated, but I don't think that they're going to do like the same way they did it with iPad and iPhone, because it doesn't really make sense on the watch side. The Mac is already allows you to do all this stuff, so that's not going to get affected. And then what, like Vision OS? No one gives a shit about Vision OS right now. Sorry.
I was at an Apple store earlier this week.
And
I guess over
didn't
this past weekend,
use a Vision Pro.
I didn't. I mean, I was just walking by it while I was waiting for my kid, and I was noting that there were no lines to use. There was nobody at the table with the Vision Pro. There were plenty of staffers.
You could have taken one, is what you're saying.
I could have taken a demo, but I was like, no, I'm good. Actually, this is a topic. Well, I'm going to pause on the questions. What do you think Apple's going to do? Like, is it just release another one at some point? Release a cheaper one?
I think so.
Because I think it's going to need... I think it needs significant changes for widespread adoption.
I don't think they are under any illusion. I don't think they're under any illusion that this version was going to be widespread adoption. I think they are already working on subsequent versions, and that whenever they get those out, you know...
Yeah, and I think those production cuts are kind of overblown, honestly. The rumors of the production cuts are just...
The same people who made that production, it was Ming-Chi Kuo, and it was his numbers that he inflated from earlier. That made zero sense.
Yeah. And there was a hilarious... I was looking into this, and there was a hilarious rumor from, like, last June or July, and it was basically Apple cuts production of Vision Pro to 400,000 units. It's like... That was what they said last July, and they're saying it again now, and it's supposed to be like,
yeah,
we're just redoing these numbers.
I think they're going to get another little bump in the next few weeks because they'll probably start doing some international rollout.
Yeah.
So other countries will start to get it, and then they'll talk about Vision OS 2 in June, and like they're going to keep just plugging away at it, but I don't think they expect it to be like, this first version that we're selling for $3,500 was going to take the world by storm.
No, I agree. No, but I guess what I'm wondering is, how long does Apple give it? Like, how big does it have to be for Apple to be happy? Because the technology is clearly amazing, right? Like, what you can do with Vision Pro and how it works, pretty great. But I think most normal people don't want to wear it. Like, the people who I see who like it the most, who I follow on social channels, talk about like, ugh, I just watched a movie, which is my favorite thing to do with it, and now my face hurts, or like, look at these imprints on my face, whatever else. Like, it feels like it has to change. It's an Apple sized version of the problem that Marquez Brownlee was talking about in his video about, what's that orange gadget that's not as bad as the Humane?
The R1.
Yeah, the R1. And he's like, you know, these companies are releasing things in the hope that we'll review them about what they could be versus what they are, and like, clearly, even what it is impressive, but I don't know. I guess my point is, yes, I do think Apple's going to keep updating it, release. It's already got version 2 ready to, you know, not ready to go, but like, they know what that's going to be. But I feel like it has to change so dramatically for widespread adoption, and change in a way that seems like it would only make it more expensive while also getting cheaper. And so I'm just curious how long you think Apple's in it if it doesn't ever get bigger than it. Like, how big is big enough for Apple in this one?
I think they're going to give it. I mean, they have the luxury of money and time.
Yes.
And I think they can afford to keep releasing. I mean, they released another HomePod that's basically the same as the first HomePod after like years.
Yeah. I think the HomePod is probably the best analogy for this device.
And I mean, the HomePod is a lot cheaper and
I'd rather strap a HomePod to my
face. I would like to take a picture of that.
You should do two HomePod minis and one for each eye.
Mm-hmm.
I did briefly consider, let me see if I can check where it is, but like somebody was pointing out that the eBay prices were pretty competitive. And so I did have one. I did add one to my watch list. I'm going to see where it's at now. Because at the time, the current bid for it was $1,000. And I was like, I might pay $1,000 for it. I might. That's not insane.
Yeah.
I assume it will go up. It's a $2,100 now. So it's probably... Oh, yeah. That's still higher than I want to go.
Right.
And I thought about it, right? Like, even at $1,000, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to put a bid in on this. It's like, I'm going to keep an eye on this. And like, when it gets closer to the end, if it's still around that, I will think about it.
I can't use public restrooms and I can't put somebody else's Vision Pro on my face.
Well, you just change the pads. There's not a thing that touches your face that touched their face.
Some more listener questions. Now that I distracted us. Listener Spall says, with all the various podcasts you all do across The Rebound, The Incomparable, Relay, etc., how often do you end up accidentally streaming one podcast on another's live stream feed? I never do that.
I feel like this is aimed at me.
Dan, did you do this?
Well, it's not me.
I've done this. I have definitely done this several times. It's been a while. I've put safeguards in Audio Hijack to prevent me from doing this because it definitely was an issue for a while. But I don't have my flip chart handy. It's been 6 months since the last incident, I'm going to say. Although, I don't know if this happened, but last week when I was recording the Six Colors podcast with Jason, I realized when I finished, I had been using my clockwise Audio Hijack thing. But I never had went into the web interface because that one requires me to go into a web interface and click a button. Mm. So I guess nominally, if someone had turned on the stream at that time, they might have heard it, but no one would turn it on without knowing that it was going to be on, probably. So, unlikely. At least a few days then, I guess is what I'm saying.
Got it. Brian M. says, sorry, another tech-related question. For employment-related reasons, currently unemployed, I'm using a 10-year-old Intel MacBook Pro as my laptop. It's on Big Sur, which is the most recent OS it'll run. It feels slow and has a lot of apps that are no longer supported lurking in the applications folder. Is there any value to me wiping it and clean installing Big Sur?
I have a 2014 MacBook Air that I did wipe recently because it had gotten, there was something distinctly wrong with it. It was unusably slow. So it definitely had like a unique issue, but it did, you know, it obviously got way better. And I think there's almost always a good chance that it's going to get a little bit faster. So, I mean, the only thing you'll lose is your time.
Right. The question is, how much work are you going to have to do to get it back up and running to a point where it's useful for you? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're unemployed, maybe you have time and like the interest in being like, oh, I need something to do. If you need a project, sure.
I can't come up with the downside, right? Like if there's nothing on there that you need, go for it.
I don't think there's any chance it's going to get slower.
Seems unlikely. Yeah.
Listener Spall says, were time zones a mistake? This is for me because Spall was very helpful in
time zones were a mistake.
Some time zone related bugs in my games, though, are
a little bit like they're a little bit like democracy. It's like the worst form, except for all the others.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how else you deal with a round
one time for every round around planet. The world. Yeah, there
the
you go.
Single Nailed biggest it. Mistake I made with my games, since no one asked, is starting at all. No, is when I made the very first one. You know, I didn't know that it was a thing. Right, I was just making my own connections puzzles, and I made my own site for it. And I was like, well, I don't want people to look at the next one before it's ready. So let me very minimally obfuscate the numbers, which didn't make sense anyway, because I was just using Unix timestamps for 8 a.m. of the day of the puzzle, as opposed to just going 1, 2, 3. That was not the right way to do that anyway. But so now I have my first three puzzles, connections and lexicogs and bivowel, were all built on Unix timestamps as their IDs. All the other games are just built on numeric incrementing IDs, which is much easier. But so the time zone driven ones are a giant fucking nightmare, and it's a giant pain. And yeah, time zones suck. And just honestly, just any date math in Xcode is, or in Swift, I should say, is not fun to me. But we're getting there. It's close. Just play my games on the East Coast if you want to make sure that you're seeing the right things at the right time.
that's what I do.
Listener Billow says, Jason started to plug Moltz's new Star Trek-related shirt on Upgrade, but he never said what it was. What's the new shirt?
I posted this in the Discord, but the new shirt is the Viridian Company of Players, and you can find it on cottonbureau.com.
ZM Knox.
We haven't had a new Rebound shirt in a while.
I know. We talked about this last time. I've been trying to think of something, and I haven't thought of something, so maybe we can talk offline about possible shirts.
Offline.
Be nice to have one for WWDC.
ZM Knox asks, is the Apple event being at 10 a.m. better or worse for y'all than usual? I would say probably better for me and Dan and worse for Moltz.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a little bit worse, but I mean, I'll be able to get it. I mean, I'll be up by then anyway, so.
Right. Should we all?
Because of the dog. But,
do we all jump on a Apple Vision Pro spatial persona call at the time, watch it live together? Think about how much fun that would be.
I do wonder how long the event's going to be because I'm booked at 11:30. So I'd like it to not take more than 90 minutes.
You want
to
do an over under?
I think it'll be under 90 minutes.
I think it'll be under too.
I think it'll be an hour or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my guess. But
ZM Knox also says, speculate on what Apple means by a different kind of Apple event. Wrong answers only.
held on top of a swimming pool that can retract and is full of sharks.
It's you know, they've been doing this for a long time now, and they have a number of seasons under their belt, so I think it's definitely time for a musical.
Ooh, like that. Tim Cook picks one audience member at random to kill.
I think it's going to be live again, not taped. I don't actually think that, but that's my most fun wrong answer.
Different kind of Apple event.
It's not.
It's going to be like, they're going to need to do this on a set again. I have heard tell through the grapevine that there will be some people like invited to be in person to do hands-on stuff for some of it.
Mm-hmm.
A very small press presence, but not like for the event itself, probably more like for after the event, you get a chance to try out the stuff. Impossible. Maybe they'll sit you down and make you watch the event too. I don't know. I actually have no idea how that would work. We're going to put you in an Apple Vision Pro and make you watch this event.
And then finally, listener Yitz asks, Lex, that's me. What did you find different developing for iOS versus developing for the web? What are some of your favorite differences?
Do you want to go get a coffee?
It's incredibly different. Okay. I'm much slower at developing for iOS, I would say overall, because I'm still learning. And it's a different brain model. And there's times where I really get into the groove. I would say that the thing I'm actually finding as my favorite difference is not entirely healthy, but there are ways that it's, you can get obsessive with it in a way that I've never found web development to be. Like there's certainly been passion projects where I wanted to just keep working on them and not stop. But like, there's something about, Swift development thus far that like once I'm in it, I really don't want to be shaken from it more than any other development I've ever done. And so I can get lost there for hours.
How dare Apple make its technology addictive?
Yeah, exactly. But it's what do I find different about it? I think that Swift UI is much harder, and I have even more respect for app developers than I did before, because it's hard. It's really hard.
He had zero respect for app developers before, so that's, you know, kind of an easy one.
Yeah. That's all our questions. Don't forget, we're sponsored by Rebound Prime. Go to prime.rebroadcast.com and blah, blah, blah.
And what else do they get access to, Lex?
Bonus episodes.
That's right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I was like, wait, does he want me to do the whole ad again? And then I figured it out. I picked up what you were throwing down slowly.
Because we're going to do one right now.